Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message. So we're going to look at Philippians 3. This is kind of appropriate for a new year. And let's just bask in the scripture here for a bit. Philippians 3, going to begin with verse 13, please. Paul says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown, stand fast in the Lord, beloved." Amen. So I think Paul gives us some at a time like this, a time of transition, he gives us some instructions, and I think that they're significant to process at this particular moment that we've been through one of the most, how do I put it? There's been more activity, probably, especially given the political world that we live in today. There's been more activity in that regard this past year than I can remember in my life. There's been more in terms of contention. There's been more in terms of disagreement. There's great polarization that exists in our culture between the right and the left side and between so many different issues. And I would offer to you that every time that there is such a spirit of contention, that it really creates an opportunity for the church to be different. You know, the word holy, the basis of the word holy is different. Holy essentially means different. You know, one of the primary meanings of the word holy is different. God is different. Okay? God is different. Holiness is different. Holy is different. So in the world of especially, like I said, political and even religious contention that we live in, what a wonderful opportunity to be different. What a wonderful opportunity to represent values and represent truths that are different, that give us an opportunity being noticed because of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ that rests upon us. Amen? So Paul gives some things to think about for a new year. Number one, he says, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. It's really important that he says, I don't count myself to have apprehended. You know, we are all always saying we found Jesus. We've apprehended. We found Jesus. We found the thing. But Paul is saying, although I am saved, I have found Jesus, I don't really count myself to have apprehended. I'm not that secure. I'm not as secure as we may sometimes think we are. I don't really consider myself as having apprehended. It's interesting, isn't it? That our Christianity is not, oh, I did that. You know, been there, done that. You know, okay, got that T-shirt. You know, got that thing. I don't consider myself as having apprehended. Apprehended what? Apprehended all that I am called to have apprehended. That my walk in Jesus Christ is not simply having had an experience and then going to church and then, you know, aging out of the process. But we are called to apprehend things. For some reason, I haven't thought a lot during Christmas time about Mary and Joseph before. Just haven't thought about them. But for some reason this year, I've thought quite a bit about them, that I really believe that they had no clue what they were a part of. I don't think that they knew that they were born with any such great sort of a sense of destiny on them. You know, I think that they could be you and me. You know, they were believers. They were Jewish believers, you know, and just and a virtuous man. But I would offer that if I, you know, were to talk to any of you, I think, you know, I love our people in our church. I think you're a bunch of really just and virtuous people. I really believe that about you all. So any of you could be a potential Mary or Joseph, but I think that kind of calls us to lift up our heads, that perhaps God would use us in a greater dimension than he is using us. I don't consider myself to have apprehended. I'm 61 years old. I don't consider myself to have apprehended. I don't consider myself to have fulfilled the destiny that God has called me to fulfill. And I don't expect to fill up stadiums. But I'm not talking about that. I think it may be influence on one child, because that's all Mary and Joseph had influence on. One child that may pass through here. Influence on one child, one person who's called to change the world. But you see, if I'm not in it, if I'm not actively being a just man, Joseph was a just man and wanted to put his wife away so he didn't embarrass her or shame her. Mary pondered all these things in her heart, right? I don't consider myself to have apprehended. I think God has more for Catskill Mountain Christian Center, for you, for me, for us. I think God has more. But that more requires holiness, requires you adopting this different view of the world, this different worldview. Had a great conversation with Apostle John Kelly yesterday. We were talking about the church and the world today. He said, Apostle Kelly, how is it that we have a faith that a goat herder in 100 AD can have as vibrant a faith as I do today? That I'm not smarter than him, that I don't have access to anything more than he had, and that person back in those days could have every bit as much of the faith and the power of the gospel that I have today. See, we don't have a faith that has advanced by science. Does that make sense to you? You have access to holiness as much as anyone in human history has, to the nature and the character of God, to walk in it. Your knowledge of nanotechnology does not help. God bless you if you have it. I love it. I love knowledge. Love knowledge. Love poetry. Love things that are beautiful. Love things that are that are interesting. So your faith is not based on things that you know, deep theological knowledge, deep doctrinal insight. Those are good things. Be in your word, study your word, know the doctrine. Know why we believe what we believe, as much as you're able to know. But don't let the lack of knowledge stop you from becoming who God wants you to be, because holiness does not take deep knowledge. Is that okay? He says, I do not count myself too apprehended. I want to be like Paul. I want to be an old man and say, I still think I got some stuff to do. Well, who is it, Dick Iverson? Who's in his mid-80s traveling the world preaching the gospel? I want to be like that guy. Right? Billy Graham is 99. He's the sixth most admired man on the planet. Billy Graham. So, we got to forget those things which are behind. This is an important aspect of this. We got to forget, because there's been failures this year. There's been disappointment this year. In our lives, there's been pain, most incredible pain in a dimension that I've never experienced before. However, we live for eternity. So we're forgetting those things behind. I wasn't going to read this right now. There's a book called Driven by Eternity by John Bevere. And this is just the introduction, but I thought this was sort of germane to our subject. He says, what is it about the word eternity that catches our attention? In fact, has the potential to influence an entire nation. Such is the story of Arthur Stace, an Australian born into a life of hopelessness at the turn of the century. His life was that of a bum, filled with petty crime and alcoholism between the First World War and the Great Depression. All this changed when he met Jesus on August 6, 1930, and soon afterward heard his pastor cry, I wish I could shout eternity through all the streets of Sydney. He felt driven to make this cry a reality. Arthur would rise early each morning, pray for an hour, and leave his home between 5 and 5:30 a.m. to go wherever he felt God led him. For hours, he would write one word, eternity, approximately every 100 feet on the sidewalks of Sydney. For more than 20 years, his work was a mystery. Who was writing this single word that caused countless thousands to pause and ponder its meaning, both immediate and long range? Had this mystery man captured the impact and the portion of this single word's power? And it wasn't until 1956 that the puzzle was solved. 2 years after Arthur's death in 1967, Sydney poet Douglas Stewart published these words and immortalized the word of this graffiti preacher. And this is the little poem. That shy, mysterious poet, Arthur Stace, whose work was just one single mighty word, walked in the utmost depths of time and space, and there his word was spoken, and he heard, eternity, eternity. It banged him like a bell, dulcet from heaven sounding, somber from hell. A one-word sermon touched a nation. Arthur's message was secured for generations by an architect, Ridley Smith, who put it in copperplate in Sydney Square. It was later viewed by over 4 billion souls worldwide as they were watching the opening ceremony from the Sydney Olympics. And it goes on and on. The power of eternity. The power of that one word, eternity. You know, I got a Jesus who I thought was going to bless me. He was going to prosper me, and he was going to fix me up and straighten me out. I never really thought too much about a Jesus of eternity. I thought about it. I believed it. I studied it. But boy, experiencing it is a whole thing, a whole other thing. In and realizing that our work of apprehending what Jesus has for us continues throughout our lives to captivate us as it captivated this man's life. Can you imagine walking away from everything with a passion to write eternity on the sidewalks of a great city? As a prophet, is it possible that Mary and Joseph are here? Is it possible that you have a call, you have a seed inside of you to do something that no one's ever done before for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it possible you're called and your life is more about saving for your retirement and living in ease through your retirement years? Is it possible that God has something more? So in order to take 2018, we got to forget 2017. I forget all of it? No. You're going to forget the failures. You're going to forget the hurts. You're going to forget the sin that has held you down and beset you time and time again. You're going to overcome it. You're going to deal with it. You're going to get it out of your life. Disappointments of this year, they're behind you now. They're done. Stupid decisions that you've made, I've made a couple of those in my life per day. Let them go. Come on, let them go. Don't live in them because they'll haunt you. You'll lose your power of confidence. You'll be afraid to make a decision. You'll be afraid to do something strong and powerful. Make your decision. Stand on them. If you fall. We're not going to surprise anybody. But what if you make it? What if you make it? What if this time you make it? What if God is in it? Offenses. There's nothing you'll do, nothing harder in the world you'll ever do than walk in forgiveness. Nothing in the world that's harder to do than for you to really release and forgive those who have hurt you. That's why Jesus said, say unto a mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. Don't doubt those things that you say will be done. Therefore, whatsoever you pray when you say, believe that you receive it. And oh yeah, by the way, if you have anything against anyone, forgive that the Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. You ain't even in it unless you can forgive it. How do you know that you've forgiven it? They don't bug you anymore. Their presence doesn't bug you anymore. Thinking about them doesn't bug you anymore. You're not always thinking about what they did to you over and over and over again, and it bugs you and makes you crazy every time. You've let them go. Yeah? We also believe behind the blessings and the achievements. You can't live in the victories of your past. You can't sit in the throne of your past victories and keep talking about them, keep bragging about them for years and years to come. Let them go. There are new victories. There are new challenges. Right? You let those things go. Let them go. Those were victories. Thank you, Jesus, for victories. I want a victory tomorrow. Yeah? I'm not suggesting you forget your testimonies. You know, in the Old Testament, when, like Jacob's ladder, Jacob would make an altar where he dreamed that dream and saw the angels of God ascending. So we don't forget about them literally. We just don't sit on the throne of our past accomplishments or failures, right? What do we used to sing? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies are new every morning, right? So whether you've had success or you've had failure, today is your day to be a champion. Today is your day to be a faith champion. Joseph, the carpenter from Nazareth, was a faith champion. He didn't go to Harvard, Yale, Berkeley. He didn't go to, you know, he didn't go to some mountain and, you know, do a Moses thing or anything like that. God said, my son needs a stepfather, and you're him. Carpenter, working man hands. And you know what he was? He was responsible. God said, oh, he's responsible. That's a guy who's responsible. Responsible for his home. He's going to be responsible for his wife. He's going to be responsible for his stepson. He's responsible. That's what God's looking for. Yeah? We share our story for the encouragement of our brother and sister and the benefit for the of the lost. That's why we share our testimonies. We must resist the urge to rest on our past victories. Move forward. Better things are coming. You know, what happens is you become a Christian for 5-10 years or so, and it's like, all right, what else is new? What else can I do now? Nothing else. God created the heavens of the earth, the heavens and the earth, the entire universe. You can never be bored with God. You can be bored with you, but you just have stopped looking deeper into God. You should never be. You can never be bored with God. And we take up sometimes literature and you know, read more God books than God's book. Read, you know, he's God. You're not allowed to get bored with God. He's going to captivate you for all eternity. We can hang on for 80, 90, 100 years down here now, no? All right. We must press toward the mark. The mark is the finish line. When I realize Jesus stands up in the end of the book of Revelation and says, behold, I come quickly, he's saying to every person in every age and every generation, you can live every day of your life as if Jesus is coming tomorrow. You do not have to burn out. You can get up every morning and live as if Jesus is coming this day. You can do it because he said, behold, I come quickly. So he can put a holy discontent in you, that waiting mode, waiting to see God. Peter, my gosh, Peter, can't you watch with me 1 hour? Peter, please, can't you watch with me 1 hour? Peter, 3.5 years we've been together. Peter, can't you watch with me 1 hour? Does that not hang on our heart? As at least the smallest measure of expectation on a child of God? Okay? So, who is Mary here? Who's Mary? Joseph, Peter, James, Martin Luther, John Calvin, Charles Finney, Billy Graham. You are. There's a point in time where heaven's going to meet earth in your life, and eternity is going to fire up, and God's plan is going to be advanced because you're here. Right? Okay? So, 2018, what do I say? I say that we claim our citizenship, as the scripture we just read, our citizenship is in heaven. You know, we're fortunate that we have people of different cultural backgrounds here in our church. Many, honestly, nations. But I am not going before Jesus with an American flag. I love being American. I like it. It's good. But if I was from somewhere else, I'd love that too. Because you're supposed to. That's your place that you're from. You know, I have a heritage, European heritage. And that's good. I like that. It's mine. I get to have it, right? But I'm not going to heaven with that. I'm going to heaven saying, I've known Jesus. I've spoken his name. I've spoken of him. I preached his name every chance I got to every person I could ever speak to. I told them about Jesus and no other. 1 Corinthians 15 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Never waver to the right or the left. You know, it's that John chapter 7 where Jesus said, you guys are kind of, You make a big deal out of circumcision on the Sabbath, and yet you're mad at me because I made a man completely whole. You know, here in the church, you know what happens every single year? People are saved. Every single year. Maybe a few, maybe many. And you miss the fact that Jesus is saving people's souls eternally. How can we do that? Right? Because we're packed in this little box together, and we notice how you do this, and you say this, and you offended me here, and you offended me there, and you're missing the show. That Jesus Christ wants to save people's souls. We're here, man. We're the hope of this region. I want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of Margaretville, to be the Lord of Delaware County, to be the Lord of your hometown, your street, your family. I want your family to be saved. I want them to know that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, the hubris, the pride of our generation is because we got technology and the Bible comes from goat farmers. We're smarter than them and the universe is so big. They didn't know the universe was big then. We know it's big now, so their God must be made up by goat farmers. The shame of a prideful people that consider themselves more intelligent than the creator of the heavens and the earth, in whom we live and move and have our being. Amen? Man, I say we rock 2018. Listen, I say we rock 2018. Should we do this together?
Hello, this is Jake Johnson, and I want to thank you for listening to this edition of On Fire Radio. Pastor Bob shared a powerful message entitled, Let's Take 2018. Last week, I spoke about how we always make New Year's resolutions, whether they're to lose weight, read the Bible more, eat healthier, join a gym. The list goes on and on. I would encourage you to make your relationship with Jesus Christ the center of your year. If you've never made Jesus Christ Lord of your life, would you pray with me today? Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner. I believe that you lived, died, and rose again. I believe, Jesus, that you died on a cross for my sins. I place my trust and faith in you today and walk forward into a new life with you and turn from my sinful patterns. Holy Spirit, I pray that you fill me with your power now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sins. Jesus, I thank you for your sacrifice. I love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, I'd encourage you to get a Bible, start a prayer life, and find a Bible-believing church. If you don't have a church, we would love to have you visit Catskill Mountain Christian Center at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York, at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning. You can find out more information about Catskill Mountain Christian Center and our other ministries at www.cmcconline.org. You can also like us on Facebook, watch our Facebook Live videos on Wednesday nights, and stay up to date. If this word has impacted you in any way, would you consider giving to the ministry of On Fire Radio? Each week, this ministry is brought to you free, online and on the radio. You can give online by going to www.cmcconline.org and clicking the Give button. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.